when it comes to men and women, yes, they are equal. The biblical view is that they are equal in nature and a sense, but different in position and function. So I will just go through this whole thing. And the one reason that I have a detailed one as well, because of the time factor, I had to run, I did realize. So most of the things are written there for you. So I will just go through. But when it comes to the Islam, I will do the little bit explanation. The biblical side, you already know. Yes, of course, that there is, we have one creator God who created both men and women. That women share the same divine image that the men do. They share sovereignty over the physical creation. Both have that. And then, of course, there is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman, and all things are from God. And then Ephesians as well, as Christ is the head of the church, the husband is the head of his wife. As Christ gave his life for the church, a husband be willing to lay his life as well. I wish something was like that in the Quran, but it's not. Then here in Ephesians and Colossians, you are already aware of it. Husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Wife, respect your husband, and of course, continue. Women are equal to men in redemption and salvation. And then there is the reference for Galatians that God loves a woman as well. And of course, we both together are heirs in the grace given to us from God. Bible refers to women converts that had joined Paul and Silas as well, when we see that in the New Testament. Women are equal recipients of the spiritual gifts. Women and men join together with one accord in prayer. In Book of Acts, it's mentioned. Now, Stephen, why that's so, why you have to mention it? In Islam, you know that women and men, they cannot pray together to God, not equally, actually. First, men, behind them women, behind them children, when they pray in rows. Or women on one side behind the curtain and men on the other side as well. That's the way they would do. Women have a teaching position within the church as teachers and deacons. Then women as evangelists and missionaries, we see that in these references. Of course, about Priscilla and Aquila, all these quotations I have given there. It's quite interesting to see women were the eyewitnesses of resurrection. And interestingly, I found, you know, I read the scripture again and again, but I did not understand, first of all, that although there were, it was a society of men, there were a lot of women in the life of Jesus who were supporters of his work, actually. You know the lady by the name Susanna or Joanna? She was one of, her husband was the steward or manager of the local government, and she was quite a rich lady. And it says in Luke chapter, oh, I've forgotten now. Just gone. It may be Luke chapter 4, I think, verses 2 to 4 is gone from my mind. But it is in Luke where it says that she used to send support for Jesus' ministry. And I was very much surprised. One thing which clicks in my mind is, even in our ministry, I have seen more Christian ladies interested in our ministry than men, actually. And I was quite surprised the other day. We were sending out the newsletter, and all these were ladies who were sitting there, and there were only two men. And so when first they didn't show up, and when they started showing up, those two people came, and I thanked the Lord, and I said, "Brothers, thank you for coming, because I was feeling so lonely here among these people." Anyway, that was just the thought about it. Let's go to the Islamic view. Yes, some of these nice pictures you see. One of this picture really, sometime I think that how do they recognize who is who? It reminds me like, you know, the girls' school kind of like graduation that, the third one is me actually from in 1976. A lady would be talking to another one. Anyway, but then there are these different kind of hijab, and they call them hijab, or burqa, and scarf are used as well. And to convince us that we are becoming modern, here husband and wife are playing, and this picture was only taken for the newspaper, so you can see what is happening here. And of course, the sea ladies are on their own praying.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Go ahead.
Why did you become a Muslim?
Well, I grew up in a very liberal family. We had money, choices. There were no rules to speak of. Everything was all right, as long as it felt good. So, I did what I wanted. Parties, drugs, sex. I had a great time. But it took over my life. So, after a while, I started to feel lost. And one day, I met a Muslim woman. She was a Turk, an immigrant. She worked in a grocery store down the street. I used to feel so sorry for her, wearing that headscarf. How could she be so brainwashed? So kind of like you, I started asking questions, talking to her. And then I began to realize that maybe I was the one who was brainwashed. I mean, all the so-called freedom in the West didn't bring me happiness. It just made me a slave. Slave to fashion, slave to the cosmetics industry, slave to men. And then I read the Holy Quran, and I saw that Islam gave dignity to women. In Islam, I learned that my value comes from what's inside, my heart, my soul. And that's when I became truly free.
You hear that? Millions of dollars are spent to help you that Islam, how good Islam is. And it works in this way. It's presented how in a very good light is presented. But let's see the reality of it. Men and women are equal, yes. The Quran does say that God will reward both men and women. And there are some of these references that whether you are male or female, if you do a lot of good things and believe, and of course on the day of judgment, you will be given rewards. There are these things there. Men and women created from a single soul. This is what in the brackets you see those references from the Quran. And I have a detailed outline for you there as well. They, in other words, men are told that your wives are your garment and you are a garment for them. That's very good. It's like a biblical thing. However, let's remember that men are superior a step above women. Well, that idea also is mentioned in the Bible, not because that men got some more brain in himself, but because there had to be, he has to be chosen as the head of the family, and because of the head of the family, he has a lot of other responsibilities to give in. He has to love his wife so much, whether like it or not, he has to. While in the case of his wife, she has to respect him. Sometime I say, yes, it is very nice for chicken to lay an egg, but for her it's just an egg, and for the person who likes bacon, for a pig it is his life. And so that's where the men's situation comes along as well. But then men have been told, as Christ has given his life for the church, men should be ready. That is not there. A man, the marriage between a man and a woman in Islam is a contract. That's a totally different thing altogether. In Islam, women are treated as deficient as well. Muhammad said, he has said, "I have not seen anyone more deficient in intelligence and religion than you, woman. A cautious, sensible man could be led astray by some of you." The woman asked him, "O Allah's Apostle, what is deficient in our intelligence and religion?" And so he replied, "Is not the evidence of two women equal to the witness of one man? Because it's in the Quran. God has said that." They replied, "Yes, that's the way it should be." He said, "This is the deficiency of your intelligence. Isn't it true that a woman can neither pray nor fast during her menses?" The woman replied in the affirmative. He said, "This is the deficiency in your religion." I don't know, I want to run through this thing, but God can use a Muslim woman's situations to bring her to himself. You know, this morning my wife mentioned about this lady in the south of Florida who is going to be baptized today. We talked several months ago because her daughter had become previously Christian. So now she wanted her to come back to Islam. So when this mother met me, and she, very educated lady, and she said to me, asking a lot of questions, and for two hours we continued talk, and eventually I said, "Sister, why don't you ask him directly? Ask him that if you, the real God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then whatever this man Masood is saying, Stephen Masood is saying, is it true? Then show it to me." And out of the blue, I just said, "The Lord will do that." Well, a month later, she tells my wife what had happened. She really prayed to the Lord and saw in her dream that yes, what I had told her, he should be worshipped, and that is God of, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and also the God of Jesus, and I am called as the Father." She wakes up and tells the first thing to her husband. The husband does not take it for granted, nothing, but now she realizes that. So she goes around and telling other people. But now she says, "Well, now I have known, always known God of Islam, but I know this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but how should I pray to him?" So she said, "Okay, I have to ask him again." So she prayed and nothing was coming to her. So she said, "Lord," or "God the Father, I'm going to pray like Muslims do. Here is my mat on which I usually pray. And I will be praying to you, but if that's not the way to pray like Muslims pray, then stop me. Tell me." Well, she went to sleep. The next morning, she woke up with the woman's situation. She had menses, period. Now, the interesting thing is that for the past, which I learned from my wife, for the past 6 years, she had not had periods. Now, according to Islam, when a woman is in that situation, it says you cannot pray. See what she was doing? And God used that situation of her. Then the third night she goes again and says, "But who is this Jesus? I want to pray to him and all this. And is it really true that he is the only Savior?" And she sees the dream again. In this dream, she sees Jesus standing as high priest on behalf of his believers. He is interceding with the Father. Now, as a Muslim woman, she has no idea about the priesthood as it is, it was to be in Judaism. She didn't study. And so I asked her several questions. And it reminded me all that robe what Jesus was wearing, all that breastplate on him, and all that clothes, and the significance of it is usually Jewish high priest would do that once a year to go into the Holy Holy and present the case for Israel. Wow. And so Jesus comes to her and touches her forehead and said, "Got you." And since then, she has been like over the moon, a very different person. God can use things. So I just wanted to share that with you, that here Muhammad is mentioning, this is your deficiency in your religion. And there a woman finds Christ in another direction. Women are ungrateful to their husband and are ungrateful for the favor and the good charitable deeds done to them. If you have always been good to one of them, and then she sees something in you, not of her liking, she will say, "I have never received any good from you." So in other words, women are always ungrateful. This is what Muhammad has said. About the testimony, I already mentioned in the Quran, testimony of two women is equal to one man. This is one of the problems. So if a woman is raped, unless she has some witnesses, she is in big trouble. When it comes to marriage and family, paradise is under the mother's feet. Yes, it says that. This is why a woman always tries to be married to have children, so she will be respected as mother, and then she thinks in the literalist way that because children will then obey me, and this will happen. Before that, nothing else. God has given you wives, sons, and grandsons. Yes, it's like it's a blessing from God. In Islam, like Christianity, adultery, fornication is forbidden and even punished as well. Men are allowed to marry Christian and Jewish women, but a Muslim woman can only marry a Muslim man. This is why some of our boys, Christian boys, when they see in university a Muslim girl, and then the next thing you realize that they have married, maybe in the secret somewhere, your son became a Muslim, I have cases I have learned later on. There's a case in St. Pete I know about. The boy said, no, mom, that is totally untrue. And now they have children, and so the children should be taught, trained as Muslims as well. So the mother is asking, "What happened? My son, you told me that you were never a Muslim, and now you are practicing like a Muslim. Your children are a Muslim." So he did say that, at that time he lied, and now this is what is happening. A provision is made for men to marry more than one woman. Yes, it's all there. A Muslim should not marry an unbeliever, nor allow his daughters to be married to unbelievers. A Muslim man can marry a Jewish or a Christian woman, but not vice versa. Muslim scholars advise that children from such a marriage should be brought up as Muslims. So yes, a Muslim man can come to you and say, "Well, I'm marrying you. You are a Christian and I'm allowed and you can practice your faith." But as soon as the children start arriving in the family, the children should be brought up as Muslims. Some Muslim men would allow their children to be sent to Sunday school and all that, but that's what I call moderate Muslims. But then again, the danger is always there. A Muslim woman can marry a man from another faith by only after his conversion to Islam. Here's another one. If a Muslim married man converts to another faith, his marriage dissolves. He is an apostate and worthy of capital punishment. If a Muslim married woman converts to another faith, marriage still remains intact. She should be punished, scourged until she repents, or in that situation she dies. So for a Muslim woman, married woman becoming a Christian is more a big problem, because five times a day she has to be scourged by becoming a Christian or something else. And she should be asked to come back. And if she doesn't, two things can happen. And that is, she will continue to be punished, or she dies in that punishment. Temporary marriage is also allowed in Islam, especially among Shia people as well. It's called Nikah al-Muta, consists of a man saying to a woman, I wish to marry you for a day or so on condition that you will observe no iddah, which is kind of like a period of divorce or something like that. There will be no mutual rights, no inheritance, no divorce procedure, and no witnesses. Yes. A lot of Shia students from Iran in the West actually marry and then they leave and say, what happened? Oh, he was already married and I didn't know about this temporary marriage. Anyway, Sunni belief is that Muhammad permitted temporary marriage until the conquest of Mecca. Some refer to the time of Khaybar, but the Shia and the Sunnis, they kind of like fight on this question, but both agree that yes, we have to come to a decision. Shia totally believes in it. So they practice it and is commended by their theologians and jurists. There is this reference there for you. Equality and fairness in marriages. And here is from the Bible, from the Quran. If you fear you cannot treat orphans, in other words, girls, with fairness, then you may marry other women who seem good to you. 2, 3, or 4 of them. But if you fear that you cannot maintain equality among them, marry only one or any slave girls you may own. This will make it easier for you to avoid injustice. From this, the idea comes that a Muslim man can marry more than one wife and 4 at a time. And also the situation of adoption becomes a question as well. So if there are kind of like in the far family or in the community, there are girls, they would not accept them as daughters in the family. They will accept them as to be married in the family. When it comes to equality between a man and a woman, apportioning time and money, this is what is important to do, that there should be equality. And equality is more a kind of like in a financial way. So what equality should be, that if a man has 4 wives, then he has given a house to one wife, he should give another house to this other wife, another wife, another wife. So the income should also be divided and all these things. So apportioning time and money, affection and love of the man towards his wives, which is about sexual relationship. And here is an example. About Muhammad, we are told the Prophet used to pass have sexual relation with all his wives in one night, and at that time he had 9 wives. There are a lot of other things, but we will not go into the detail of that he married Aisha, who was kind of like just a kid, 6 years old. Husband's rights. A man can lie to his wife. I mentioned that to you. According to circumstances, a Muslim is allowed to hide his real intention and lie for the cause of war to his wife, for war to his wife or wives, and for the sake of converting someone, or if it will bring a good result for the community of Muslim. This is in Sahih Muslim as well, and in Sahih Bukhari and several other places. This is where the ideas of kitman and hiding and all that circumventing and lying starts. There is another thing which is here. You know, in Islam, divorce is very easy, but at the same time, the Quran says that God hates divorce. Here is Umar. He was the second caliph. He was once talking when his wife interjected. So he said to her, you are a toy. If you are needed, we will call you. And people think that why would he do that? Well, the idea is there in chapter 2 of the Quran. This is Marmaduke Pinktel's translation. But it's like that women are a field, like a farmer has a field, and the field does not tell him, his farm does not tell him what to grow in that farm. He has to decide. So the same is, a man is the possessor of his woman, so it is up to him the way he treats her and the way he do things to her. The Messenger of Allah said, that is Muhammad, whenever a man calls his wife to his bed and she refuses and then he passes the night in an angry mood, the angels curse her till she gets up at dawn. Very strange. But that's what Islam teaches. A man can beat his wife. As for those wives whose misconduct you fear, banish them to beds apart and beat them. The English translation sometime would say, beat them lightly in bracket, it will say. But a man who is angry, you know, think about it. A man who is angry and he is allowed to beat his wife, is he going to do it lightly? It's a problem. When a person is angry, it's a very different thing together. Here is another quotation. There are three persons whose prayer will not be accepted, nor their virtues be taken abow. The runaway slave until he returns back to his master. You know Islam believes in slavery. We believed it until just recently. The woman with whom her husband is dissatisfied, and the drunk until he becomes sober. So here is a man and woman's relationship is more kind of like sexual and all that, which is very strange. Islam presents that. When the man fears rebelliousness in his wife, the Quran commands the use of force and sexual desertion in the case of men. But what happens if a man is rebellious and man is just kind of messing about everywhere? However, Surah 4:128 suggests diplomacy and reconciliation when a woman fears rebelliousness in her husband. See, this is, what kind of equality is that? If a woman fears from her husband misconduct or desertion, there is no sin upon the couple if they reach reconciliation between themselves. Bukhari, this is again a tradition, gives an example of this so-called reconciliation. The woman whose husband does not want to keep her with him any longer, but wants to divorce her and marry some other lady, so she may say to him, keep me and do not divorce me. You may marry another woman and you may neither spend on me nor sleep with me, but still call me your wife. Don't divorce me. Because in Islam, a divorcee woman is kind of like a second-class citizen. And so this is the problem there. The most detestable of lawful things near Allah is divorce. This is what Muhammad said. Oh, that's very good. But let's see. The power to divorce usually resides in the hand of men. All he has to say is, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and the divorce has taken place. Bukhari reported a hadith that shows how easy the detestable and lawful act can be. A man may say to his brother in Islam, have a look at either of my wives, and if you wish, I will divorce her for you. I wish if these things were said in that documentary or movie they made. It can even happen against the will and the love of the husband and the wife concerned. The son of Umar, you know, the second caliph, the second in command after Muhammad's death, his son reports this. I had a wife under me whom I loved but whom Umar disliked. You know, my father, his Umar. He told me, divorce her, but I refused. Then Umar came to the messenger of Allah, in other words to Muhammad, and notified it to him. And then the messenger of Allah told me, divorce her. What is happening here? On one side, Muhammad is saying that divorce is a very detestable thing in God's eye. Then this son who has a wife, because the father or the wife's father-in-law does not like it, he says, no son, you have to divorce her. He refuses because he still loves her. And Muhammad comes along and says, no, you have to divorce her. That is very strange. A divorced woman can marry her ex again, but first she has to marry someone and be divorced and then come back and marry. This is again detestable because in the Old Testament it's a very different law together. Muhammad missed, somehow he got the wrong information. And so here it is. Anyway, what about women in paradise? Look, those men who kept their duty, because when I put that men in bracket, in Arabic, there is the verb, the way it is used, it identifies whether the person is male or female, the way it is said. For example, I as a man, I will say, I am going, main jata hoon. But if I am a woman, I will say, main jati hoon. So, fa'alta, he did it. Fa'alti, she did it. See, this is the way it happens. So from them we says, look, those who kept their duty will be in a place secure amid gardens and water springs, attired in silk and silk embroidery, facing one another. Even so it will be, and we shall wed them unto houris. These are kind of like fair ones with wide eyes and all those. There was other language as well, and I left it out for you to look it up if you want to. That is chapter 44 of the Quran. Spiritual standing of women. Amongst the inmates of paradise, the women would form the minority. This is Muhammad saying. Had it not been for women, God would have truly, truly been worshipped. Yes, but do remember that this is for your information. Don't say it in the face of them for hateful purposes, for helping them to understand what they are getting into. We have a leaflet, before you marry a Muslim. There are a lot of things going on. Our daughters, our granddaughters are in colleges and university rubbing shoulders with these men from other societies, especially from Islam. And we have to help them to understand what Islam is all about. That's why we have a leaflet called to Before You Marry a Muslim. And it's free. Please take it. In fact, there are other leaflets as well of this color. You can take them free. These one, Before You Marry a Muslim, Who is God, Grace, Mercy and Justice, and Who is the Messiah. There is no such thing as a free lunch or free dinner, but somebody paid for it and we printed it. And so you can have them free, these ones. Let's go a little bit further. Aisha, this is that Aisha whom Muhammad married age 6 and had a marital relationship with her when she was 9. This is according to Islam. Aisha is reported to have said that Muhammad said prayer is annulled. In other words, prayer is wide by a dog, a donkey, and a woman if they pass in front of a praying person. Can you imagine? A woman is now equal to a dog or a donkey. And Aisha actually said that to Muhammad. She said, also now we are kind of equal to donkey, that my husband is praying and I just in front of him I passed because I had to do something. And he's upset because his worship is why he had to perform it again. Muhammad saw, this is another strange thing. Muhammad saw a woman, and so he came to his wife Zainab as she was tanning a leather and had sexual intercourse with her. He then went to his companions and told them, the woman advances and retires in the shape of a devil. So when one of you sees a woman, he should come to his wife, for that will repel what he feels in his heart. That's in Sahih Bukhari. Very good advice, but our problem is he claims the woman advances and retires in the shape of a devil. You can understand where these ideas are coming from, the Arab ideas and other thinking as well. And also, please do remember that according to certain Jewish traditions, they treated their women too bad as well. So this is very strange. If you want to understand how Jesus treated people, you have to understand what was he up against, even the society in which he was living and how women were treated. And here he calls them daughter and, and giving them healing and these other people who do not even care. especially a woman who is kind of bleeding and who is unclean and all this. Anyway, let me come back here. Between women, and this was the reason that Muhammad said that because when we see women, we become sexually kind of like upset. So our women should cover themselves so we will not be kind of concerned about it. And so he introduced these things which we call today hijab. Women should draw their khimar, which means hijab or scarf, over their bosoms. Women should cover their bodies when outside to draw their hijab or burqa or chadar on them. And these are the two references which are used in a very different way around the world of Islam. The 20th century prominent Muslim scholars has said this, and his name is Abul Ala Maududi. And he said, some nations have given women the position of governors over men, but no instance is found of a nation that raised its womanhood to such a status and then attained any high position on the ladder of progress and civilization. History does not present the record of any nation which made the woman ruler of its affairs and won honor and glory or performed a work of distinction. Do you hear that? And yet, it's so ironic that in the same country of Pakistan where this man lived and died, he was one of my teachers as well, that Zulfikar Ali Bhutto's daughter, Benazir Bhutto, who was educated in Cambridge in England, became twice the prime minister of that country. And then, just a few years ago, she was killed. Because she wanted to go for the third time, but she was killed. And so twice she ruled the country. And here is Ayatollah Khomeini. A permanent wife must submit, taslim, herself for whatever pleasure her husband wants. If she does not obey him, she is a sinner as has no right to. Well, we'll leave it there. And there are a lot of other things I could share with you, but it is for your information only. But do share this with people who try to marry Muslim men, especially Christians, that they should know what they're getting into. It's also, I have not given you the biblical side of it, but biblically that is wrong too. The recent newsletter we have, Married to a Muslim ? And read that as well. And it tells that please don't do it. But if you are already married, now there is another area come for you, and that is that by your example, now you can lead that person to Christ. It may happen or it may never happen. And so that is what I can say so far. We'll leave it there. Do you want to have a break, a few minutes? Then we can go to questions Muslim ask. I think there is another outline. I will just go for 5 minutes over it, and then we will open it to question.